chapter 23, which is one of the most famous Bible chapters, and in this chapter, and David had written this psalm using the imagery of a shepherd and sheep in the verses 1 through 4, and in verse 5, a host and he uses a host and a guest and to describe the Lord's abundant provisions, which is the lesson theme. And in the last verse, he expresses his confidence in the Lord. So, so we're gonna pass this paper around, and we want you to, in every verse, circle a word that kind of stands out to you. And answer your question at the bottom. One or two words. In every verse.
Every verse, one or two words.
Is everyone done? Okay, I'm gonna read over the chapter. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in the green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, my rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So, we're going to look in verse 1 right now. In verse 1, David calls the Lord his shepherd, and he calls us his sheep. So what are some animals that you chose to be compared with, and why? Calvin!
I chose a monkey. Because in the zodiac, Chinese zodiac, so maybe I was chosen to be one. And then it says like under it, I'm like very funny, which is kind of true. And monkeys are very loud and obnoxious sometimes.
Okay, so anyone else want to share? Well, at least know why.
Benny. Cal's asking you.
I know.
I read it. It's a lot.
She didn't write anything down. What about you, Cal?
I would be a whale.
Oh,
the polar bear.
Is that so random?
A polar bear. Now they
it's just a discussion.
Yeah, cool.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it's one too.
Man, it's a sexy species to be at this point about it. What would you be kept? Turtle.
That's for you to find out. I mean, that's for you to know when you need to find out.
Ash around the road, not just some crazy.
Aaron.
Let's ask David. Yeah. David, what would you like to
David?
Be?
I don't know.
You don't know.
That's not an animal. Is that why?
It is now.
I would have picked that. What does it do? What does it look like?
The thing is that, you know, the question is, what animal would you most like to be compared to? You know? Sometimes you could be compared to something that you're totally opposite to also. You know, it doesn't have to be like a likeness thing. You know? It really doesn't. I think it's more just, you know, opening up a topic of discussion, because the rest of this chapter talks about a certain animal that, you know, we're going to talk more about.
Kevin, show your animal.
It's just a snake.
Why did you pick Taurus?
Okay. Well, and back to verse one. David calls the Lord our shepherd, and he compares us to the sheep, because back then shepherding was very common, and shepherds were needed because sheep are weak and vulnerable, and they needed someone to care for them and guide them, which is just like us, and they probably would not be able to survive without the shepherd's guidance to food, water, and protection from predators. So, in the verse, David not only states that the Lord is his shepherd, but he also tells us about his decision that he has submitted to the Lord as his shepherd. So, in the other part of the verse, it reads, "I shall not want." And so with a faithful shepherd, sheep do not lack anything. They are provided with all the food, water, rest, guidance, and even medical that they need. And there aren't any wants that the shepherd wasn't able to meet. And likewise, our shepherd, God, meets all of our needs too. And he not only does this, but he also makes us content with what he gives us. So in the book of Philippians, Paul learned that he learned to be content no matter how much or little he had. And quoted in chapter 4, verse 14, "I can do all things through Christ with strength and strengthens me." So, of course, there are times when you might think you're not really happy with things you have. So, an example is within the sheep and shepherd comparison is that sometimes the sheep and the shepherd, like, sometimes the sheep can be led to green pastures, but they are still not happy with it, and so they try to escape and seek for what they think would be greener pastures or better pastures. But when they do escape from their shepherd and run away, the fields that they find are inferior or not as good as the field their shepherd had selected for them. But they still do not like return to the old field because of their discontentment with the original field, and the idea that there's still some better field out there, and they just want to control where they go and what they eat, and basically they just want to be their own shepherd. So we being believers of God should avoid discontentment, especially since the world we live in and whose economy flourishes on basically dissatisfied customers, because they always want something bigger and better and faster and stronger, And so in order to fulfill these, most businesses, such as the electronics industry, produce better and faster devices and everything. Like, you know how like iPods, they're always coming up with new things and we're always wanting the newest things. And even though like the first ones were just as fine as they were, like we always want better versions of it. Oh. And then in verse 2, it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures." And this explains the security of God that he provides us. And so in this verse, the sheep need to feel safe and secure before they lie down, because a prone sheep is an easy prey for predators. So in a shepherd's presence and watchful eyes, the sheep will feel more protected and they will lie down in the presence of their shepherd. So this compares to how our own shepherd provides us security no matter what our circumstances are. So he's always watching over us. He's always near, and we should feel safe and comfortable knowing that we are under his constant vigilance.
Okay, I'll continue with the second half of this chapter. So I guess in the first half of the chapter, we talked, you know, a little bit about submission, because basically when we say that we are the sheep, you know, it's sort of not like a monkey, I think. There are monkeys that, you know, like to be there and sort of lead the pack. But then oftentimes, you know, sheep, they're kind of dumb, you know. They just sort of go and make a really cute noise and go in a herd. So then there's, you know, submission, and then there's also contentment, right? Being happy with what you have, and this whole thing about I shall not want. And then Ashley had talked about also security, which is verse 2, where David had mentioned, you know, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. So basically you want to feel safe before you actually are comfortable to just, you know, lie yourself down. So the next thing I want to talk about is the second part of verse 2, which says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. So if you sort of go through your study book, it talks about how when we are the sheep and God is the shepherd is actually very sensitive to all of our needs. So he is sort of this, you know, he's our God who has always, you know, this vigilant eyes that, you know, always constantly try to make sure, you know, you're doing okay, you're being fed, you're clothed. And that sort of reminded me of what Wayne had talked about in the adults last week, where he was like telling all of us how his dad always makes sure, you know, do you have enough food? You know, can I bring you this? Can I bring you that? And sometimes I go through the same experience when I live at home now, you know, where my mom always tries to make sure that, you know, I'm doing okay. So basically when God leads the sheep to the still waters, the book mentions how still waters is maybe a place where the sheep will actually feel comfortable, because it's not water that's sort of, you know, running and scaring the sheep, but it's a very peaceful place where the sheep can go and drink the water. And then moving on to verse 3, the word of God says, he restoreth my soul. So restoring your soul is basically, you know, there are probably times in all of our lives when we tend to just wander off in, you know, various directions, and, you know, we get lost sometimes. But even though we sort of go astray, somehow, you know, God leads us back, right? Because we know that even though we are gone, you know, away from the rest of the flock, you know, the shepherd, which is God, he's always out there, always looking for that missing sheep. And when we do come back, he then helps to lead us to that right path we're supposed to follow. And then we ask, you know, what is this path? What is this path that, you know, God is leading us down to? Is it always, you know, nice and bright? You know, do we always hear birds chirping along the way? And, you know, probably not. You know, real life, come on. You know, you walk down the street and you could, you know, step on something that you don't want to step on, and it might be very stinky. And, you know, that could kind of ruin, you know, the rest of your day, right? So all of us, you know, in the real world, we probably don't have glamorous, you know, life where everything is of ease. We could just go through life, you know, we have the perfect job where all of our coworkers love us. But, you know, we have those people that we get along with and those that we don't. And that's sort of, you know, trials, and there are certain pains. But we know that God's form of blessings are in many ways. There are lots of, you know, spiritual, the book calls it spiritual fortitude. I'm not really sure how to explain that, but I think it's a lot of, you know, peace that God gives us, a lot of understanding, which is always nice, and there's always a lot of spiritual refreshment. So when we come back to the flock, when we come back to the herd, when we go back to the shepherd, that's where he restores our soul. And that's how he's going to lead us down to that path of righteousness. And then the last part of verse 3 is, for his name's sake. So it's sort of like, you know, taking another step beyond, you know, being that salt of the earth. Probably, you know, going back when I went through high school, sort of when I went through college, I remember how sometimes it was really challenging even just to, you know, tell people where I was going on Sunday morning. And, you know, I was coming, you know, I was going to church. You know, it was something that I should be more proud of, right? But as I, you know, grew up and kind of gained more confidence, I think it's easier to then go on to tell other people that, you know, I am a Christian and I go and I worship God on Sunday. And that everything we do is here, which is sort of in his namesake. So then at the end, hopefully the confidence that you have and sort of, you know, the God that you believe in, you can then have that, I guess, have that presence where people will then turn and try to start asking you, you know, who is the person that's leading you, you know, who are you believing in? And so sort of speak, coming back to Psalm 23, which is, you know, sort of like, who is your shepherd that's leading you? So that's verse 3. And then we come to verse 4, which is safety. So it's one of those verses that says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So David writes this because in his life, he's probably gone through a couple of those phases where he really does feel like he's walking through the valley of the shadow of death, where it seems like everybody around him might be out there to get him, or he's in a very dangerous situation. But at the same time, you know, he tells us that he's actually, he has no fear. He has no fear of any evil that's out there. And the reason is because in the next part, it says that because God, or the shepherd, is there with him, he is the person that can comfort him with the shepherd's rod and the shepherd's staff. So with sort of, you know, the rod and staff, it's, to me, you know, if I try to think of a rod and staff that I use nowadays to, you know, bring comfort to me is, you know, I like my GPS system. Because beforehand, I would try to, you know, go online to try to figure out all the roads I have to take. No longer, you know, no fear. As long as the map is uploaded into my GPS system, I have lots of confidence that I'll make it there. So there are lots of times where probably, you know, walking through that valley where it might be very dark and gray, but at the same time, if you can have the safety that you feel with God inside of you and knowing that God is always with you, you could actually walk through it
And after you walk through it, oftentimes it's the other side. It's after you've gone through the valley of the shadow of death that you do reach that green pasture and that you reach the nice, better, brighter place. And then moving on to verse 5 and also verse 6, this is a little bit different. So now we're no longer with the shepherd and the sheep, and now we are at a feast. And this is very consistent with the topic of this chapter, which is, you know, the provisions of God and God's abundant provision. So this is the provision of the gracious hosts. So basically, David writes, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." So basically, God has set up a big banquet where there's a table there and you are the guests and you are there eating the feast and having a great time, and you are there right in the middle of your enemies. So I thought, you know, that's sort of weird. Like, you know, why would I eat in front of my enemies? Like, I don't know. What do you guys think? Was that sort of odd when you guys read the verse? Would you eat with your enemies? And it might not be eating with your enemies, it's just presence of your enemies. What?
Maybe it's like you go to a restaurant and you see some people out there. You're not necessarily eating with them.
So just by accident, but like still five tables away. Glorify the children before what?
Before adversity.
Okay.
Like, you know, David's faith was strengthened knowing that even despite all of the enemies, that he still believed in God.
So it's almost like he's not even fearful, like, even though all the enemies are around him, like, he can have the peace to sit at the table and eat a meal. Sort of?
Not just that, but you know, God is preparing him to be at the place where his faith is at that level.
Okay. And so I guess, you know, being at that table in the presence of your enemies, not necessarily, you know, maybe mingling with them, it says, you know, "Thou anointest my head with oil." So in the book, it describes, you know, actually anointing somebody with oil as a very friendly and welcoming gesture for the guests when they come to the house. And it's supposed to be like a very honoring, honoring practice. So it's, you know, basically, I'm guessing it's just pouring oil on top of your head. Does anybody else know? Or is it more of just like a dot?
Like, you know, back to my original thought, like, you know what I said when it was linked to about anointing my head with oil? Like, I always think, like, you know, when you anoint someone with oil over the head, kind of like consecrating them, like, or edifying them. So, like, you know, that's what I thought, like, meaning, like, God put David and all these in front of his enemies just to, like, edify himself, you know, just to edify David. I don't know.
That's interesting.
Oh. A shower or something.
You thought it was a shower with the oil? No, I think, you know, this, I mean, I think the oil is supposed to be smell good. I don't think it's one of those cooking or olive oil.
Torch them.
Torch them.
No, you're supposed to honor the guest, not eat your guest. But it could be, I mean, yeah, and I think, you know, maybe I'm just taking things, you know, very literally versus, you know, very, in a lot of symbolic ways. But I think the last part, which is, you know, "my cup runneth over," I think that's, you know, a great vision of just having, you know, God's abundant provision, right? That when you're at a feast, you never want to, you know, not have enough food because then you're at least, you know, I feel like if you're polite, you're not going to go and, you know, eat that last piece, kind of depending on how you are. But you know, God says that whatever feast that probably the believer is sitting at, that the food will always be there. There's going to be plenty of food. There's going to be plenty to drink, so much that things are actually just spilling over. And then the last part is sort of David wrapping up this entire chapter, saying that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's sort of wrapping up that, you know, David had a lot of faith in this shepherd, right, to lead him. And, you know, the shepherd leads him through the valley of the shadow of death. And then at the end, even if the sheep wanders off, you know, it's okay because we know that the shepherd is always looking for us, and that even if we do wander off, that goodness and mercy will always follow us. And that we have this, you know, deep desire to eventually be able to, you know, spend the eternity or the rest of our life with God. And that's, you know, probably a very intimate, I imagine, you know, relationship. And it's probably, you know, it's something that I look forward to one day when I die. So, wrapping up Psalms 23, basically, I think the big point to get across is, you know, God's sort of all the things that God provides for us. Sort of, we are the sheep, and that sheep are pretty helpless, but that's okay because God knows exactly what we want. You know, He leads us to the place that He knows that's best for us, and even if we do wander off somewhere, it's okay because God's goodness and His mercy will always follow us.